to the podcast of the City Club of Eugene, Oregon. The City Club builds community vision through open inquiry and is dedicated to enabling an informed public on a wide range of topics. Coming up in today's program.
Look at headlines from around the world. You see story after story of a city that's rediscovered its water. And part of that is that almost every city on the planet has a connection to water because of the role that water plays in life and transportation and industry and all sorts of other things.
We built a neighborhood at South Waterfront. We helped build a neighborhood in the Pearl District, and we're very excited about building a dynamic downtown neighborhood on this particular site.
We focus on the neighborhood first, and there's challenges to getting the neighborhood right, whether it's infrastructure, environmental remediation, other adjacent projects like parks and railroad crossings. But that leads to the potential then to develop great housing.
We came up with this updated parcel plan from the 2010 master plan that takes Fifth Avenue and the Fifth Street Market, turns that into both a vehicular and pedestrian corridor that extends all the way to the river in a very simple manner.
We appreciate the sponsors who make our civic work possible, including Kaiser Permanente, kp.org, Lane Community College, lanecc.edu, Peace Health, peacehealth.org, the University of Oregon, uoregon.edu, Lane County, and the City of Eugene. And here's today's program.
Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's April 2nd, 2021 program. Eugene Downtown Riverfront Development Project, A River Runs Through It. This is the 27th program of our 2020-2021 programming year. My name is Joel Corin. I'm the City Club Program Chair and a past president. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors. You can become a member of the City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. Our programs are always available on our YouTube channel and our Facebook page, and are broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 on Mondays at 7 p.m. In today's program, we welcome presenters Dyke Dame, Jim Atkins, Will Dowdy, and Kurt Schultz. Biographical information on our speakers is available at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. I would like to thank Sandra Bishop for coordinating today's program. Eugene has turned his back on the Willamette River for more than 100 years. Finally, after more than a decade of planning, public process, and negotiation, the City of Eugene and private developers are taking the next steps in the Downtown Riverfront Development Project. Developers Dyke Dame and Jim Atkins of Atkins Dame Incorporated in Portland are forging ahead with ambitious plans for the former Eugene Water and Electric Board, EWEB, land on the Willamette River. The project on the West Riverbank is adjacent to the Fifth Street Market District and a few minutes walk from downtown. The 16-acre former industrial site will be transformed into a neighborhood with residential and commercial uses, including housing in various price range. At the same time, locals and visitors will have easy access to Riverside Public Park. Dame and Atkins are committed to realizing the dream of a lively, dynamic neighborhood that reconnects downtown to the river. Four speakers will describe the ongoing process. I'd like to turn the program over to the program coordinator, Sandra Bishop. Sandra?
Hello, this is Sandra Bishop, longtime City Club of Eugene member. I'll be moderating today's panel. We are fortunate to have four dynamic speakers today to talk with us about the redevelopment of the old EWEB industrial land on the riverbank. And it's been interesting. It's been front page news for several days now. So we're going to get the story from those who are in down there in the mud and actually making things happen there. So we're fortunate to have Portland developers Dyke Dame and Jim Atkins from Atkins Dame Inc. in Portland. And joining us also is Kurt Schultz from Sarah Architects. Kurt was instrumental in the master planning for the site. And we'll also have Will Dowdy from the City of Eugene. And these folks will bring us really up to date on what's happening there. I do want to say that the eWeb operations were moved off this site in the late 1990s. I was actually still an eWeb commissioner at that time. And one of the last votes I took as an eWeb commissioner was to get the industrial use off that property. So I can take a tiny, tiny, small bit of credit for helping with this project. But, you know, the heavy lifting is coming now, and it's really happening. The city has been doing a lot of infrastructure work, which is in a couple different phases. There's a public park going in. There's also talk of redevelopment of the steam plant in a couple of years. So I just want to let you know, today's program is about the primary development. We won't have time to talk much about the park. We won't have time to talk about the steam plant. So we'll hear from four of our speakers today. So I want to kick it off by turning it over to Will Dowdy from City of Eugene. Will is the co-director of community development for the city, and Will's been immersed in this project from day one. So take it away, Will.
Thank you, Sandra, and thank you for to the City Club for this opportunity to talk about this project. And apparently, Sandra, thank you also for your role in helping to make this project happen. This is certainly a large project, a community project, and there are a lot of hands that have been involved in one aspect or another along the way. I'm part of a large team of people across the city organization who are working on it in one role or another, and it's been a real pleasure to be involved in this. And when I think about this project and I think about the work that we're doing on the riverfront, one of the things that comes to mind is a conversation I had with a reporter a couple of years back. And we were talking about the riverfront, and we were talking about the changes over time of this location. And the reporter asked, "So are you telling me that Eugene was poorly planned? And was this a problem with the way that we've organized our city? That we had this site that's a gem that's gone through this whole history and that we've never captured this before?" And my response is that no, this what Eugene is going through right now is a story that's been told in cities all over the world over the last 50 years and especially over the last couple of decades. And if you look at headlines from around the world, you see story after story of a city that's rediscovered its water. And part of that is that almost every city on the planet has a connection to water because of the role that water plays in life and transportation and industry and all sorts of other things. And what you find in city after city is that the city is where it is because of the water. And then when the city grew and developed over the last few hundred years, the uses that really congregate around the river were not the ones that were pleasant to live around and not the ones that were pleasant to do most of your business around. And so the cities all gravitated away from that water. And as we have changed what industry means, as we have changed the way that we do our work, as we've changed the way we do our transportation, all sorts of things, cities are rediscovering the gems that they have along the water. And they are clearing out space. They are creating opportunities to re-engage. And I think that's what you see in Eugene. It's not to say that we don't have a special story. But this is, I would say, like any person who goes through the same life changes as people all around, but you do it in your own way. And so in Eugene, we have our own love story with the river. The city and the river have their own unique relationship that is in some ways similar to everywhere else in the world, and in some ways is very unique and very special to Eugene. And so so this is this transformation that we're seeing over time, where the tree line is along the river. And what you see is that this river is a part of our community, but we've shifted away from it, and now we have that opportunity to move back. You see that gap, and you see the opportunity we have to bring the lifeblood of the city back into connection with the river, and the opportunity for both the river and the city to benefit from that, and the opportunity for more people to have more access to the river. And that's really what this whole project is about. We put a number of different dates on when this project started. I've heard people say that we've been doing this for 20 years. I like to go back to what I've heard described as some of the first conversations, which are more than 30 years ago, that there was a conversation about, can we re-engage with the river on this site? And what I like about that, using that date as the reference point, is that there are a number of people who are working on this project, whether they're city staff, architects or engineers, people who are out on the site putting in the concrete for the roads or the park and you know, actually moving the dirt with their hands. There's a number of people in on all of these different aspects and roles of the city who were born after the time when this community said, let's re-engage this, and let's do this work. And I think it's fascinating to think of to put this project in a generational time frame, and to think about the people who were involved in getting this conversation going, the people who are working on it now, and the legacy that this has for the future, and the people who are not born yet, who will enjoy this site and enjoy this connection between downtown and the river. And so that's a big sweeping place to start. I think it's always valuable to start with that kind of perspective, because that's really the project that's at hand. You may know some of the more recent history, which is that about 10 years ago, EWEB, who owned the property, they commissioned a master plan for the site. And that master plan was a big project, a significant project that involves a lot of community voices, a lot of time and attention and professional insight went into that project. And that master plan set a direction for this site that will last for 100 years or more. The groundwork that was laid in that, they looked at a variety of different options, different ways to use the property. In my work, I've come to take it as granted that the plan was for this to be an extension of downtown, a downtown neighborhood. But they looked at sites of kind of a commercial campus and other a wide variety of uses to think what is the right fit for this location? Should this be a large institution? Should this be what is the right thing? And they ultimately settled on this idea for the downtown experience to have a combination of housing and jobs and retail park space along the river, and that has formed the direction that we're going through now. The city has been working with EWEB all along to make this vision a reality, and we stepped into a more proactive role in the last few years to be the main implementer of achieving this vision. So we as the city, we purchased the property. We've entered into an agreement with Atkins Dame to bring the buildings in and to make this to form the partnership that will see this project through. We've also started to do the work to make the project make this land ready for more development. And so a lot of that has been building infrastructure. And so these urban blocks will include access to the riverfront park. That will include the steam plant that Sandra mentioned. It'll include a city project or a city partnership project to build affordable housing. And it will include space for all of the work that Atkins Dame is going to do in this project. And so that's my kind of introduction, I guess, to the topic, and I'll pass it back. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate all the work that Will and other city staff people have been doing to keep this project on track. There are so many parts and pieces of it. And I want to introduce next one of our speakers, Dyke Dame. And I first met Dyke when he was working with an old partner, Homer Williams, Williams and Dame. And they had a vision for this site. And I have to say, Dyke is one of the people that has the most staying power. There have been a lot of false starts on this development. There have been development rights given to other groups and things. And Dyke Dame has waited very carefully, just, you know, knowing that sometimes a community has to go through a lot of process to get where they need to be to actually make something happen. So Dyke's the kind of person that knows how to make something happen. He's lived in the Northwest. He for most of his life, University of Idaho education, resident of Oregon since 1960. He's got more than 50 years or nearly 50 years experience working in development. And he's worked on all sorts of projects that have really transformed urban areas. So I want to turn it over to Dyke. Dyke, take it away.
Well, great job, Will. You did a really terrific job of describing this. I look at these type of transactions, which is basically we're building a neighborhood. It's important to emphasize that word, neighborhood. And building that neighborhood takes time. It's a journey to get from where you start to the end. This has been probably not any longer journey than Jim and I took on South Waterfront in Portland. So a lot longer than it took Lewis and Clark to get from wherever they started to Astoria, which was approximately 1 year. I started working on this in 2016. Jim and I joined up, started working on it in the fall of 2017. We built a neighborhood at South Waterfront. We helped build a neighborhood in the Pearl District, and we're very excited about building a dynamic downtown neighborhood on this particular site. Might point out one thing. There was an article in the newspaper today. It said there would be a hotel on the site. That's certainly a possibility, but it's not very high on our list of things that we're going to do there. This is housing. The goal here is to bring more people living in downtown Eugene. That's a good thing, whether that is related to urban growth boundary issues or other things, but it will make downtown Eugene healthy, more economically viable, perhaps, than it is today. And as we bring on our neighborhood, joined together with what the OB group is doing, Eugene will be an exciting place to live as all of these things evolve over the next 4 or 5 years. I'd like to point out in passing, or the last comment I'd like to make, is the city of Eugene is very fortunate to have people like Will. The other people that we've worked with at the city have been excellent. They do a good job. They know what they're doing. They held our feet to the fire a number of times. And we engage with them in a very complex transaction. These things are not easy to put together, but we've taken a really strong first step. Jim and I have assembled an investor group that has made a $4.5 million deposit, non-refundable, to the city, so the city can begin the next phase of the infrastructure. And we're excited about that getting done.
Thank you, Dyke. Jim, I wanted to just do a brief introduction. Jim Atkins is the other co-owner of Atkins Dame Inc. And Jim has a lot of experience with development. He's also an engineer as well as a developer. So that brings a whole nother interesting and necessary dynamic to the table. He's also been in the military. And I want to point that out because there's something to keeping these projects on track. And I think between Dyke and Jim, especially with Jim's background, I think there's a lot of experience there that we can be assured that this is moving forward and it's going to be kept on track.
And Will, a great presentation. I concur with Dyke, and hats off to you and the staff. We've worked on these urban neighborhood projects in other cities. And I would say, you know, the staff at Eugene is as passionate about their city and the future and the planning of these types of neighborhoods as anyone. Really hats off to you and the rest of the staff. You made the comment, these are urban blocks. And I would concur with that. We look at these as building blocks to build a neighborhood. And again, to reemphasize what Dyke said, we focus on the neighborhood first, and there's challenges to getting the neighborhood right, whether it's infrastructure, environmental remediation, other adjacent projects like parks and railroad crossings. But that leads to the potential then to develop great housing. And that's why we engaged with Sarah Architects. Sarah Architects are first and foremost, I think, terrific architects and design great housing and great buildings. but also have the ability to step back and look at this holistically. And how do you knit these pieces together to create a great neighborhood? This is a once in a lifetime opportunity, truly. This site, because of Eugene's unique history, as Will pointed out, has been a series of industrial uses dating back to the 1880s. Those weren't always very conducive with housing, whether it was the tannery on the site, the various mill races. So the site is really evolving, and this neighborhood's going to evolve. And I'll turn it over to Kurt with that and let Kurt explain much better than I could as an engineer. I'll turn over to an architect to let architect talk about the architecture.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, I'm Kurt Schultz. I'm a principal with Serra Architects in Portland, Oregon. And I actually grew up in Eugene. I'm a Churchill High grad and a U of O grad. So it's really a privilege to be able to be working on such an amazing project here in Eugene in my hometown. So we've really been enjoying our work so far and working with Will and his team. So Serra Architects, we're based in Portland. We've done a number of projects in Eugene, including the Tate Condominiums, a residential project a number of years ago. And we most recently completed the Erb Memorial Union renovation and expansion at the University of Oregon campus a few years ago. So the first thing I wanted to do was describe the master planning process, where the master plan adjustments to the 2010 master plan were approved by City Council in 2018, and then describe what's been happening since that was approved. So when Dyke and Jim and I first came onto the project and our team, we saw the 2010 master plan that had been created by EWEB and many community stakeholders. There was a lot of good work and a lot of really thoughtful analysis that went into that 2010 master plan. The only thing that we noticed from the 2010 master plan that we wanted to tweak, there was in the 2010 master plan, there was this kind of old shed building called the EWEB Ops Building that was going to remain in place. This building is almost kind of a barrier to being able to stitch the grid of downtown to the waterfront. And our team really thought it was important to make an even stronger connection between the downtown and the river and knit the two together, which has always been the goal. And our idea, along with Dyke and Jim, was to actually take Fifth Avenue and bring it straight to the river. So we don't have any kind of roundabout circulation to get to the river and really stitch the grid of the city to the river itself. And just that one simple move of extending Fifth Avenue to the Willamette River has been driving all the tweaks we made to the master plan. As Sandra well knows, being on the board at EWEB, this is a really complicated site with a lot of easements and utilities and infrastructure already on the site. So we began by kind of analyzing where all that stuff was on the property. And so when you see the things that can't be moved, like transmission lines and sewer lines, we're left with these white areas that can be buildable areas. But still, this doesn't show any streets knitting its way through the property. I also wanted to mention the steam plant. We are not the development team doing the steam plant, so that is not part of our development proposal. But we're in communication with that team and want to make sure that we coordinate with each other. So then when we add the street grid in, we came up with this updated parcel plan from the 2010 master plan that takes Fifth Avenue and the Fifth Street Market, turns that into both a vehicular and pedestrian corridor that extends all the way to the river in a very simple manner. We also then extended Mill Street, created a new street called Annie Mims along the railroad track, and extended Ferry Street as well. So we basically created 10 parcels that we've been looking at redeveloping, but really the Fifth Avenue corridor and even the Riverfront Park and Plaza is the backbone of the master plan. So right now, the city of Eugene is actually in the process of building the new Riverfront Park and will soon be in the process of designing and building what we're calling the Riverfront Plaza. That's the area just to the west of the pedestrian corridor along the new park. They're also now building the extension of Fifth Avenue. That's really the public drivers and the public amenities that's really the heart of the entire project. All the buildings are in the original master plan are a combination of four-story mixed-use residential apartment buildings, a restaurant as an anchor right along the waterfront, and then also the original master plan called for a number of for sale townhouses on a lot of the parcels. We also have looked at, you know, what's going to be the character of the new buildings in this master plan. We've been inspired by the community design principles that were created by the city of Eugene to really evoke a sense of place, connect to the river, and create very active streetscape and buildings that are built to last, not cheap buildings that are not going to last for a lifetime. Most of our housing is all urban housing on infill properties that really are mixed-use buildings that have retail on the ground floor to activate the street level and use quality materials, whether they're brick or other siding materials, but buildings that have character and create really dynamic and neighborhood and community streets. Also, where we have residential at the ground floor in any of these buildings, whether it be a townhouse or a mixed-use building, if it is residential on the street, we will always have stoops and raised stoops to entries that really create a really wonderful experience as you're walking along those residential areas. It's almost like Brooklyn or Greenwich Village in New York, where you have stairs leading up to a stoop. It creates more interaction between the residential units and the street when they're raised. People keep their blinds open and these little porches become ways to interact with the community at large. Our big idea was to extend Fifth Avenue all the way to the river. Once you get to the river and you're looking south, you can see this is the new waterfront, Riverfront Park the city of Eugene is building. And then they'll also be building this new waterfront plaza soon. And then finally, the new residential buildings that we're building in the background that really will be stepping down in scale. We're going to be putting the tallest buildings back closer to the railroad tracks along Annie Mims, and then let all the buildings and all the new residential buildings cascade down in scale to the river. So this is the vision that we had for what it would look like when you get to the riverfront. Fifth Avenue connects to the river. You connect to the new Riverfront Park. The new Riverfront Plaza will be happening here relatively soon. The City Council also approved in 2019 a maximum density option. So the minimum density option on the site is a little more than 400, I would say, residential units. Maybe 420 is the minimum number that Jim and Dyke must build. There's also a cap on what the maximum number of residential units are, and that's about 1,200 units. As we're moving forward, so basically City Council gave us these brackets of a minimum and a maximum. My best guess is we're going to end up somewhere in the middle of that minimum and maximum. I don't think we're going to get all the way up to 1,200, but we'll be more than the 400 unit minimum. Also, since City Council approved both of those actions, as Will was saying, the infrastructure is now going in by the city, and the city is putting in not only all the sidewalks and the roads, they're putting in the infrastructure and the utilities that also become the backbone for all the new parcels that are going to be built. So the city park is now under construction. There's kind of a great overlook over the river that is going to be the termination of Fifth Avenue. the pedestrian only portion of Fifth Avenue. And Fifth Avenue extends now all the way back to the downtown. So this is that idea of just a simple and direct connection between the downtown and the waterfront along Fifth Avenue. Ferry Street, Annie Mims, and Mill Street are also under construction right now. So since the DDA was signed and Jim and Dyke made their very large deposit with the city, we've been now working on the first phases of the project. And one of the changes that we're thinking, we're looking at making for the first phase is probably less for sale townhouses and a little bit more multifamily mixed use residential buildings. We are still proposing some townhouses on Fifth Avenue, but the first two projects out of the gate, which we're going to be applying for a MUPTI application with the City of Eugene here, probably in the late spring, would be the eastern half of what we've always been calling Parcel 3. That it will likely be a 4 or 5 story residential mixed use building with parking kind of tucked in the back, accessed off an alley. We thought this was an important first phase because what it really does is, since Mill Street is the gateway into the site, it really builds that initial gateway area into the entire EWIP parcel. The other parcel that we're looking at doing as our first phase is what we've always called Parcel 7. Parcel 7 actually lives, the majority of Parcel 7 lives on the east side of the viaduct, but it also lives under the viaduct and a small portion on the west side of the viaduct. We'll be designing this entire parcel also as part of our first phase. What we really liked was the idea of using Fifth Avenue as the backbone, that both Parcel 3 and Parcel 7, if they're built at once, we really do build out two contiguous blocks right at the heart of the community or neighborhood here. And then we begin filling out the rest of the neighborhood at the edges as we go along, because the park and the plaza will also be built. So that gives us two mixed-use buildings, Fifth Avenue. We've also added a new small retail building just on the west side of the viaduct to create even more retail and commercial activities along Fifth Avenue. So these are being designed in more detail by us right now. The other thing that we're doing is really diving deep into sustainability for our projects. Sarah has a national reputation for our advocacy and implementation of sustainable design. And we really look at sustainable design very holistically. It's not just about energy consumption. It's really about both resource management, water, energy, materials, but it also is about our health and well-being, building healthy communities, non-toxic materials, air quality. Air quality is a big issue these days, especially with all the fires we've been having. And then finally, looking at ecology and community issues and even social equity in our projects. So we use what we call the Project Compass. So this center of the compass represents what I would call a code minimum project that still meets, you know, the Oregon Energy Code and meets all the other standards and is probably represents a typical building. What we're trying to do is actually extend and improve sustainability measures on all these sectors of resource management, health, and sustainability and ecology. So we are planning on having all of the projects have a LEED certification through the USGBC. We are planning at a minimum to have all of our buildings beat the Oregon Energy Code by 10%. And the Oregon Energy Code is actually coming up with a new code here this spring and summer. And it already is gonna be at a very high standard. So beating that is gonna be a higher standard still. We're looking at ways to conserve water and energy and use healthy materials on site. So we're really just beginning this discussion, but it's really it's our core principle for everything we're doing on the site. Some of the larger buildings that we're now proposing, we're proposing less for sale townhouses along the waterfront than we did in the minimum density scheme approved by City Council. Right now, those buildings that used to be townhouses will probably now be four-story apartment buildings for a variety of incomes. And then the buildings behind it on parcels 9 and 10 will probably be 6 or 7-story mixed-use apartment buildings as well. But we're still maintaining the same idea of the buildings cascading in size, getting a lower scale down to the park and the river on the other side of the viaduct. So again, we wanted to build buildings on both sides of the viaduct. Next step is to get those two parcels designed, and we'll be submitting those to the city for review. And they'll be going in for building permits in the summer, and hopefully we'll be starting our first site work of both of those buildings at the very end of this year.
If you enjoyed this presentation by the City Club of Eugene, please visit our website at cityclubofeugene.org or our Facebook page for more topics. We hope you are inspired to join us for our next podcast episode.